Today, I want to start by asking a question. What is love? Love is one of those things that everyone loves to talk about. Everyone loves to talk about love. But what is love? According to the dictionary, love has been defined as a feeling of affection towards a person or a thing, or having a specific interest that means a lot to you. But I think there's a bit more to love than just this dictionary definition. Because where there is love, I also see that there's huge power that comes with it. Love has a habit of going beyond just a little bit of affection and a warm, fuzzy feeling, but it also often leads to people doing extreme and irrational things for those that they love. When we love, we value others more than ourselves. When we love, we are willing to love others even when it hurts. This sense of sacrifice, of loving even when it's painful, is something that we don't often see in our world. But where love is present, it has the habit of changing lives and even of changing the world. And so it's this kind of love that hurts that we're going to spend some time thinking about together this morning. Our world is a place that is obsessed with love, that longs for love. But have we really grasped what it really looks like to love? Have we really grasped this sense of loving one another even when it hurts? Today we're going to continue our series looking at the unexpected call that Jesus gives to his disciples in Luke 6 as he invites us all to follow him. And Jesus, as he invites his disciples to follow him, gives them some unexpected commands or instructions. Last week, Julia was helping us explore Jesus' unexpected statement that blessed are the poor. When's that ever been said before? And today we're going to hear some equally challenging and unexpected lessons from Jesus. But before we go any further, we're going to pray, and then I'm going to read God's word together, and we will then think about what God might be saying to us this morning. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that's contained within it, for all that it shows us of who you are, and how we can live our lives for you in a way that is the way that we were created to be, that is glorifying and honoring to you in a way that is good for all, not only for ourselves, but for all of humankind. And so, Lord, as we hear your word today, would you be speaking to us? Would your spirit be moving? May we hear your voice as we listen to you and your word this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if you've got your Bibles and would like to turn to me, we've got to verse 27 of Luke chapter 6, and we'll be going down to verse 36 together. And if you don't have your Bibles, the words will be on the screen if you'd like to follow along with me. So this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says this: "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. It's quite a challenging passage to read, isn't it? Over the last few weeks, we've been working our way through Luke 6, and we've seen how Jesus opened his first discipleship training school. He gets his disciples all around him, and this is Jesus telling his disciples what he expects of his people who are going to be his followers. 2 weeks ago, we saw how Jesus initiated a new tribe, a new community, a new gang of his disciples. We saw how he appointed leaders to lead his gang forward, but he invites all of us to not just be part of that crowd, but to join in with this new community of his followers and follow his ways. Last week, Julius helped us to explore some of Jesus' ways as we looked at Jesus' sermon to his disciples on the plain, the characteristics of God's kingdom that he wants his disciples to follow and advance, the things his gang of disciples should value and champion. And now we come to arguably one of Jesus' best known and most often quoted teachings. Love your enemies, turn the other cheek, do as others would have them do to you. These are all widely accepted, wise and inspirational teachings, and yet how hard are they to follow? This is real love. Real love is hard when it's put into practice. We are living in an increasingly polarized world today. The tone of our debate and of our society often struggles to love those who simply hold a different opinion to us, let alone our enemies. When we are wronged, it's natural to want justice and to retaliate for the ways that we've been hurt, rather than demonstrating love and mercy to those who have harmed us, wronged us, spoken against us, or whatever it might be. We all want people to treat me well, to treat me beyond what I deserve. Yet do we love to bless others in the same way? Let me illustrate this for a moment for you. I'm sure that all of you this morning would love me to give you £100 just because I want to bless you. No strings attached. It's just a blessing. It's not going to happen. They don't pay me that much. But imagine it for a moment, okay? You would love to receive £100. Would you be equally as happy to give £100 to someone else just to bless them? And yet Jesus says, do to someone else what, or treat others as you would like to be treated. Jesus says, love your enemies. Bless those who mistreat you. Do to others as you would have them do to you. This is a challenging passage to read. When Jesus invites us into his gang, into this new community of his disciples, he doesn't say it's going to be easy. He doesn't say it's going to be comfortable. He doesn't even say it's going to be fair. Loving and obeying God with our heads, our hands, and our hearts is difficult. It doesn't come naturally to us. It is costly and it hurts. But Jesus tells us that if we're to be a part of this new community, we have to keep on loving, even when it hurts, because that's when real love is seen. When I read this passage, I find myself asking why. Why does Jesus want me to keep on loving, even when it hurts? Why, as one of Jesus' disciples, should I love when it hurts? Why should I do good to those who hate me? Why should I pray for those who mistreat me? Why should I give to anyone who asks and then never expect anything in return? Why should I embrace this cost of loving, even when it hurts? And as we look at this passage together, I think there are four reasons why Jesus calls us to love when it hurts. And we're going to look at these four reasons together this morning. And so the first of these is that we are called to love when it hurts because we are called to be distinctive and different as we follow Jesus. If you look at verse 32 and 33, Jesus tells his disciples that it's easy to love people who love you. Even sinners do that. But Christians go beyond what the world expects of us. We're called to be the salt of the earth, the light shining out into the darkness. We are called to be distinctive, to be different from what the world would usually do around us. And that means we need to love differently to everyone else. We are not just called to love people who think like us. We're not to love people who just look like us. We're not even called to just love people who believe the same stuff that we believe. Jesus calls us to be different from the world. And that means that we love those that we disagree with. It means loving our enemies, blessing those who don't want to bless us. This week, I wonder, what could you do to love in this way? What could you do that might be so distinctive that the people turn around and go, you know what, there's something different about those Christians. They really know what love is. The person that's been making your life a misery, could you give them a gift? The person you fundamentally disagree with, could you honor them and bless them in some way? The person down the street that drives all the neighbors potty and they really struggle to tolerate, could you go and do something that blesses that neighbor rather than expecting them to bless you? We are called to be distinctive, to love differently. What could you do that's different this week that someone else might see the love of Christ in and through you? In verse 34, Jesus tells us that we should then go and lend our money and our resources to people and not expect repayment. And why should we do this? Well, the reason is because we are rich. Jesus teaches his disciples in Matthew 6 by saying this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven instead." We should not value the treasures and belongings of this world as others do. We can lend our money and not expect repayment because we can be generous to those who expect and who don't expect it because we are not precious about what we have to hold on to in this earth. Much more precious to us than the treasure of earth and the money that we have and the giftings that we have is the treasure that we find in heaven as we're obedient to follow Jesus. And even if you have nothing in this world, still we are rich. As Paul reminds the church in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 8, he says this: "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." We can love when it hurts because we are rich in Christ. We can give generously and not expect anything in return because we are rich in Christ. Our treasure is not simply defined by our bank account. Our treasure is stored in heaven, not on earth. And so I wonder this morning, what might we treasure the most? What might you treasure the most? What would you be least likely to let go of for the benefit of someone else? How might letting go of your treasure enable you to love others, even when it might really hurt you and be painful to do so? but you're happy to do it because your treasure is on in heaven and not on earth, because we are rich in Christ. We love when it hurts because we also have hope. Verse 35 tells us that if we love our enemies, if we do good and are generous to those around us, then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High. Now, let me just be clear for a moment. This is not a prosperity gospel message. This isn't saying that if you give £100 to someone just because you want to bless them, someone is going to give you £1,000 in reward, because that's how God works. Your reward will be great, but not necessarily in a prosperity that is seen in this life. Your reward is great just because you're in Jesus' gang, just because you're one of his disciples. You are following his way. You are living the fullness of life that he has given to us all. The reward might come in this life. It might come in the life to come, but we can love when it hurts because we have hope. We have hope beyond today and beyond tomorrow. We have a hope that is firm and secure in Jesus. If we put our trust in him, we are children of the one true living God. And that reward is far greater than anything that we could ever experience in this world. We can love when it hurts because we have a greater hope to come. And finally, we can love when it hurts because we know who God is and what he has done for us. We know who Jesus is and his love for us. Verse 27 tells us that tells us to love our enemies. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. Romans 5 verse 8 tells us that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, God is good, God is perfect, God is holy and just. And I'm sure that you, just like me, are not always as good as God. That's just the way that the human, that we are all created in this sinful, broken world in which we live. And when we sin, when we turn against God, we stand in direct opposition to the goodness and the righteousness and the holiness of who he is. Paul goes on in verse 10 of Romans 5 to call us, that's you and me, God's enemies. Yet even though we were his enemies, we are reconciled and reunited through the love and sacrifice of Jesus. Who are the people that you like the least? Who is it that you find the hardest to love? Do you know that God loves them just as much as he loves you? Do you know that even when you were his enemy, Jesus loved you enough to lay down his life for you, because that's how much he loves you? We are called to be apprentices of Jesus, to follow his way of living. And that means that if Jesus loved his enemies, so too are we to love our enemies, even when it hurts. Not only does Jesus love his enemies, but he goes on to bless his enemies. This is most clearly seen at the cross. There Jesus is, innocent of any crime, nailed to a cross, being crucified, breathing his last breaths. And as he's hanging there in agony, what does he do? He doesn't try and argue his case. He doesn't say, I'll get you back in the years to come. Instead, he pauses. He prays for those who crucify them. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He blesses his enemies. Verse 28 tells us to bless those who curse you, to pray for those who mistreat you. Not one of us here today has been crucified like Jesus has been. So how might we follow his example and bless those who might mistreat us? So who's mistreated you recently? Who's got your back up? Who's spoken out of turn? Can I encourage you this week to pray for that person? Pray that God wouldn't rain down justice upon them, but pray God's blessing upon them. Pray God's forgiveness on them. Pray that you would lift, that He would lift them up, that He might forgive them and reveal the depth of His love for them. And pray, as you pray for them, that your heart might be softened too, that you too, like Jesus, might bless your enemies, even when it hurts. In verse 29, Jesus tells us, his disciples, that when someone slaps us, we should turn the other cheek. One of the things I love about Jesus is that he doesn't tell us to do anything that he isn't prepared to do himself. If you've got your Bibles and want to turn to John 18, you'll see there that Jesus is being questioned before he's taken off to the cross to be crucified. And as he's questioned, one of the officials slaps him round the face. And so what does Jesus do? Does he turn round and give as good as he gets and start a brawl as he's being questioned in the court? No. If you look at verse 23, instead Jesus steps back from the person that has just assaulted him and says, if I said something wrong, testify to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me? God doesn't retaliate. He doesn't lash out in anger. Instead, Jesus sets an example, and that is an example that is just and righteous without resorting to retaliation. When people hurt us, how can we continue to love? How might we de-escalate the situation rather than escalate it? How might we stand firm in justice without responding to violence? How might we love rather than retaliate? In verses 30 to 31, Jesus encourages his disciples to give to others and to be generous in how they give. This theme runs throughout the whole passage and throughout the gospel. God is good and he loves to give generously to his people. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he's characterized by going out and doing good and blessing people, healing them, restoring them, transforming their lives, displaying and pouring out his outrageous generosity on those who encounter him. And in Jesus, we see the character of God. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, if every human being knows how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in God, or Father in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. We can be generous. We can love when it hurts because we have a God who loves to give good gifts to his children. And that includes each one of us here. And as he loves to give good gifts to us, his children, he calls us to follow his example that we too might love to give good gifts to others. The final verse of this passage both rounds up all that we've looked at today and also sets us up for next week. We love when it hurts because Jesus tells us to be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Jesus invites us into this new community of his believers, of his disciples, not just to be a part of a crowd, but to follow his way. And his way is one that is defined by mercy. Paul reminds us just how great God's love and mercy is. That because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. We love when it hurts because we live in the light of the love and mercy of Jesus. We love when it hurts because we stand in the shadow of the cross, The cross that is the greatest demonstration of love that the world has ever seen. Jesus' love was not just some kind of warm, fuzzy, affectionate feeling that he had for us, but he was willing to sacrifice all that he had for us. At the cross, we see how God loved us, even when it hurt him. We've been blessed by the love that has been shown to us on the cross by Jesus. And he calls us to follow his example, to love even when it hurts, that our love might be seen, that people might see our love as his disciples and encounter him through us. Real love is not just some nice, comfortable, romantic affection that we often see portrayed in the movies. As the Beatles song says, all you need is love, and they're right. But that love is sacrificial. It's a love that is costly, gritty, and messy. It's a love that is full of mercy. As we follow Jesus, we are challenged to reveal his love to the world around us, just as God revealed his love to us, even when it hurts. So may we go and love the world around us, even when it hurts. Let's pray together. Lord God, we praise you for the love that you have shown to us. A love we don't deserve, and yet you freely gave to us all anyway. Lord, we pray this morning that we might receive and know that love. But Lord, as we receive it, would we not just keep it to ourselves, but would we follow your example and love those around us even when it hurts? Lord, this morning we pray for our enemies. We pray for those who mistreat us. We pray for those individuals this week who've got under our skin and whose names are coming to our mind as we just read this passage. Lord, we pray that we might be generous, loving and merciful to those around us, that we might treat others as we would like to be treated ourselves. Lord, we recognize we can't do this all in our own strength. And so, Holy Spirit, would you come into our lives? Reveal more of your love for us, that we might reveal more of your love to those around us. We pray that as we live our lives for Jesus, we would know the love and mercy that you have shown to us, and that we might too be able to follow your example and reveal the love and mercy that you have shown to us, to all those around us too, even when it hurts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.